All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to our teleclass on the importance of nature in an urban environment. For those of you who don't already know me, my name is Jennifer Rojas, and I'm the Director of Operations and the blog editor for Mommy Bites. We are really excited for this teleclass today. Our expert is fabulous, and I can't wait for you to hear from her. But quickly before we do that, just a little bit about the format and logistics of our classes in case you're new to our teleclass series. You are all muted right now, so you don't need to worry about background noise since we've got people calling in from all over the country, maybe even internationally. So wherever you are, whatever you're doing, just relax and don't worry about any noise. If you would like to ask a question during the class, it's super easy. You'll see on your event landing page, if you've come in through the web, in the top left corner, there's an Ask a Question button, and you can simply click on Ask a Question, and a box will pop up for you to type in your question and submit it. We'll be monitoring and answering your questions throughout the class, and you can ask as many questions as you want. You can put your name in or you can leave it anonymous, but we do encourage you to ask as many questions as you'd like. And we're also recording the class, so you don't need to take any notes. We'll send all of you a link to the recording within a few days, along with some additional resources. So please do feel free to just sit back, relax, and enjoy the call. Before we get started and I introduce our expert, I wanted to give a huge thank you to our sponsor of today's class, The Art Farm in the City. The Art Farm on Manhattan's Upper East Side stresses the importance of nature and a love of animals in all its classes. It even has its own petting zoo right in their facility. Their mission and philosophy focuses on stimulating a child's spirit of exploration, creativity, and educating them about nature. Children enjoy a number of fun, creative activities, including arts and crafts, healthy cooking, gardening, music, engaging time with over 50 animals in their award-winning indoor petting zoo, and more. Their programming is for ages 1 through 9 years, which includes Mommy and Me classes, drop-in open hours, birthday parties, toddler separation play groups, preschool camps, school outreach programs, and memberships. The Art Farm in the City is excited to be celebrating 15 years in 2017. As owner Valentina Van Huys, who we'll meet in a moment, says, we teach kids about animals and the environment. Teaching children about what happens outside of the city they live in is so important. When people live in the country, they could be driving down the road and see a turtle, and those things are just not going to happen in an urban environment. Kids have a natural instinct for exploration and being one with nature. It doesn't have to be limited just because they live in a big city. And here we are. Our wonderful expert today is Valentina Van Huys. She has a bachelor's degree in music education and previously taught in the Board of Education. She focused on music curriculums as well as general pre-K through fifth grade education. She created and implemented all of the Art Farm's Mommy and Me curriculum and toddler curriculums and works directly with her staff on the unique curriculum to make sure the Art Farm values are being represented in all of their lessons. Valentina also oversees all of the Art Farm in the City operations, ensuring that families are receiving quality programming and experiences. Valentina is a mom of three who lives with her husband in New Jersey and their two boys, 7 and 4, and their daughter who just turned a year. She was raised around vegetable gardening, whole food cooking, and farms, and continues to instill these values in her children. We are absolutely delighted to have you here today, Valentina. Why don't you give us a little bit more background about yourself and share a bit of your story?
Great, thank you. I'm so excited to be with the Mommy Bites community today and reach out to all these families. The bio really sums up, my journey and who I am. And living, with three young children, I really just want to start connecting with families that I'm doing the same thing you're doing, or you're venturing out. Maybe you have one, or maybe you have two, and you don't know if you're ready for three. I am living in New Jersey, but I'm raising three kids, and I think that goes pretty much anywhere. And I also meet so many families in New York City that are deciding should they move to the suburbs or stay in the city, and everybody knows that's always a constant until you've really firmly made up your mind how you're going to raise your children. So I feel like I know so many families that live in the city and make nature a big part of their life, and me living in New Jersey, it's a part of our life as well. And being a part and growing the art farm to what it's got to today really has given me so much knowledge, and I'm so excited to share it with you guys today.
That's great. Thank you, Valentina. And just a reminder to our audience, again, feel free to type in questions as we go along. So, okay, let's get right into it. Why is it so important, really, to expose and teach children about live animals and nature?
Well, there's so many reasons why, and I really look forward to sharing them all with you in this teleclass today. There's so many recent studies that document the importance of exposing children to nature and the natural world at a young age. Children's social, emotional, and also their physical health use nature to develop. People are a part of nature. You know, we are living human beings, and we're hardwired to be around nature because we are a part of it. So exposing your children to it at an early age and in an urban environment is extremely important since it's not they're not playing in their backyard every day. Also, getting into exposing children to live animals helps children understand that there are other living creatures around them, not just their family members and not just people or not just their pets in their home, that there are so many living creatures out there in the world, and they're moving, and they're alive, and they need food, and they need water to grow. And exposing children to that, really, as an adult, you take that for granted that you know those things. But if kids aren't around that all the time, exposing to them that at an early age really just engages them with the rest of their world.
That's great. And in fact, a question from one of our callers has already come in related to that topic about, you know, it is important to expose kids to animals and to their needs. And the caller actually is wondering about if you have any advice on helping children get over their fear of animals if they have one, and that her child actually has a dog phobia and they're always trying to figure out how to help get him over that.
Okay. We definitely have had families come into the art farm in the city stating that, and especially dogs, since New York City has so many different dogs, and maybe they've had a negative experience with a dog, or in general, they might just be scared. One thing that I think is good is having them around smaller live animals, having them, one of the things that we do in our toddler classes and a lot of our programming, the first thing that we have children engaged with live animals is we teach them how to be calm and how to be gentle and how to be around an animal so the animal doesn't fear you. And so the child is safe to the animal. So I think having more exposure to living things, maybe if the child is scared of dogs, then don't push dogs right away, but maybe go to a pet shop, or if you can come to the art farm, you know, look at other living things. And especially at the art farm, our animals are not hurting anybody. We make sure all of our animals are handled before they're anywhere near children, and we're dealing with all different types of animals that our pet, and we teach children how to pet and hold. So I think exposing them to smaller animals that are smaller than them and having you as a parent show them that there's nothing to be scared about, and continuous repetition will teach them that other living creatures are not scary, and then you can build up to dogs.
That's great. Thank you so much. And so if a child is not exposed, you know, if they're living in an urban environment and nature is not really a big part of their everyday life, how can they be exposed? How can parents expose their child to nature in that setting?
Yeah, I think that parents, and myself included, who does have a backyard, I think that parents need to make a conscious effort to make it a part of the child's life. If you're walking to the bus, they're going to school, then they play in an area that doesn't really have nature a part of it, but they're outside, and but they played, they did physical activity, and then they come home. Maybe after school, if it's you or your caregiver, or maybe if your life is busy during the week, which I totally understand, and it has to be weekends, but you need to carve that time out as adults to expose your children to it. You can either go to Central Park. You can think about, maybe you live near Carl Schurz Park. They have great grassy areas on the Upper East Side. Think about any area near you. That it doesn't need to be 2 hours out of New York City. It just needs to be a grassy area, an area with trees, where leaves have fallen, where branches, where sticks are. You can collect things, bring them in your home, have them children just do easy, simple projects at home with them. You can easy also do gardening. You can, if you have a nice terrace, you can do container gardening, which is really big these days, and there's a lot of articles and books. And even if you don't have an outdoor area, get some little herbs and just grow some herbs and have your kids put their hands in dirt at your kitchen table and plant some parsley, plant some basil, and all those things will grow in a sunny windowsill, and your children can watch them grow and they can cut them. So there's many ways for you to have nature a part of your life in an urban environment, but I think the parents need to make sure it's a part of their child's life and make a conscious effort for it to be a part of their life.
That's wonderful. Just knowing you can sort of bring nature to you even if you're not completely surrounded by it on a day-to-day basis, that is great. And so sort of segueing into cooking, how does healthy cooking play a part in being in touch with nature?
Well, all healthy fresh fruits and vegetables we all know are growing out in nature. Having you use whole foods, fresh foods to cook with and bringing them in your house for children to be a part of it stimulates conversations of where these things came from. So, for example, last night I was making mashed potatoes for my family, and my four-year-old was with me, and he wanted to help. He loves to cook. He wanted to help. And I said, well, I'm thinking to myself, how is he going to help me? I'm going to be using knives with potatoes. Then I was like, you know what? Help me take these potatoes out of the bag. And knowing that I was doing this teleclass today just made me really think about these potatoes are dirty. He felt the dirt. Where did they come from? Potatoes are dug from dirt. Let's wash the dirt out. They came from the soil of the earth. Let's wash it off. If your child's not old enough to help you peel the potato, they can watch you, then you can help cut the potato. But there's so many different ways that you can have fresh food in your home and tell children about where it came from, even if they're not at the garden themselves picking it. You can talk about how apples grow on trees and show them the stem. You can talk about if you have big carrots, how they've been pulled from the ground. And even for you, maybe if you haven't been around gardening yourself where fresh fruits and vegetables grow, you know that apples grow on trees, but you might not know how string beans grow, or you might not know how cabbage grows. So those are all things that you guys can learn too and bring to your children. They can help you cut and peel. So I think getting those things from the grocery store that aren't already prepared and helping your child prepare it, a pineapple, strawberries, bananas, all of those things, this is how they grow in nature, and then we prepare them and we peel them, and this is how they've grown, and now this is how we eat them, is a huge way of having your child in touch with nature.
That's wonderful. Actually, it's funny. I'm literally looking at a bunch of dirty potatoes up on my kitchen counter that I just bought yesterday. So that was very timely. But you raised some really good points about how sometimes it is just a matter of taking the time to point things out or shifting perspective a little bit so that your child really sees, you know, where things come from and, you know, pointing out, like you said, the stems or the dirt on a vegetable. It's just these simple ways and small shifts that you really, can get your child accustomed to looking at things a different way in terms of focusing on nature. So why is it so important for children to be exposed, say, to fresh whole food cooking at an early age?
So many children are being exposed to processed food. We all know that children obesity is an issue that this nation has been focusing on and also around the world. And I feel like some people think that I never have any time to cook, I'm so busy, or my kitchen's not big enough. But just like you just said, Jennifer, I mean, anything you can have in your bananas, apples, those are healthy snacks that you can have out in front of children. And these are all staples that they will use for the rest of their life. It's just as easy to grab a banana and peel it and eat it as it is to grab a bag of chips and open it. And if you don't think that you have a lot of time in your day, it is so easy to cut some broccoli and steam it in a pot on the stove. I think so many people get caught up in the fact that it's so time-consuming to cook. But having fresh food around you, there's so many simple ways to have fresh fruits and vegetables a part of your diet, and showing your child that from the beginning, that's just telling them how to eat, just like you tell them how to behave. You're showing them how to eat and what's important in their diet. You know, when your kids come home from school, you know they're hungry and it's so easy just to grab something from the cabinet. I always have fresh carrots, the little carrot sticks that are clean and in a little bag. I open that. I put it on the table. It's so quick and easy to peel a cucumber and slice it and have that ready for them to have as a snack. And they're going to feel healthy. And just like you, when you eat processed foods and you've been out and you're like, oh my goodness, I don't feel good, I just want a salad, the more you show children that fresh foods are in their body's going to feel better, and that's going to teach them for the rest of their life that eating fresh foods is healthier, and they will take that with it throughout their lifetime.
Yes, and it's so, so important. And I can say just personally, I'm a living testament of someone whose mom, you know, when I was growing up, I'm dating myself here, was growing up in the 70s and early 80s, you know, I would say something like, I want a snack, you know, can I have a snack? And my mom was always the first to say, well, have a nice apple, or mm-hmm. you know, have a piece of fruit. And when I was a kid, that annoyed me because, well, my best friend across the street had like the best candy cabinet in the whole neighborhood. And so, you know, and so I sort of like as a kid sort of pushed against it. And yet as I grew into adulthood, I absolutely just naturally fell back into those healthy eating habits. And mm-hmm. it's true how much better you feel when you are eating whole foods. And mm-hmm. so, you know, again, as a youngster, I might have pushed back against it, but my mother instilled in me the importance. And so that's really a testament to why it's so important at an early age, even mm-hmm. you know, if they think they don't want it. They will eventually. It'll catch up.
Right. And of course it's all balanced. You know, it's definitely, they should have those potato chips and they should enjoy candy here and there, but it is definitely limiting it and balance and instilling it, like you said.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so then why is it important that your child gets the understanding of the natural world and where food comes from?
Yeah, children that are exposed to growing their own food or food becoming, you know, healthy food becoming more of something that they use in their home to cook with. Like I said, having your child help you with fresh ingredients, you know, it puts them in touch and the understanding of the natural world, like I was saying earlier, where do these things come from? Then if you never have those conversations with children, and if you're not, you know, on the weekends ever around gardening or I see, you know, I also see markets and stands, you know, in the city where people are bringing in fresh vegetables and you can tell that where they've come from and they have not been cleaned. Like, they don't look like they're in a grocery store. You can tell they came straight from a market. I don't think it's fair to not teach your child those things. Like you said in my bio, I was raised in New Jersey, and my mother was born in New Jersey, and my grandmother was born in the Depression in New Jersey, and they were all farmers. So I grew up with going to my aunt's pool, and on the way home, we stopped at my uncle's garden, and he grew everything. We got cantaloupe, corn, string beans, strawberries, you know, broccoli, cabbage. So I knew that. So I can't imagine that not being a part of my life and just thinking that these things are just in the grocery store and how did they get there? And it's not just the fact of though they came from a farm on a truck and they grow somewhere, but like I said earlier, where and how do they grow? And I think it just really helps, you know, a child's mind understand the whole world and have everything connect and really make sense for them.
Absolutely. It's funny. Actually, one of our audience members just wrote in that she learned yesterday, only yesterday, that Brussels sprouts grow on stalks. So it's never too late.
Exactly.
And you mentioned, yes, and personally, I grew up in the Philadelphia area, and I know that one of our favorite things to do in the summertime on our way to or from the Jersey Shore was to stop and get some of that fresh Jersey produce. That was really a treat. I live far away now, but I still, when I'm home in the States, absolutely still go for that wonderful Jersey produce. So tell us why it's important. Oh, I'm sorry. I looked at the wrong question. My apologies. So we live in this ever-changing, fast-paced world filled with growing technology. How can you keep your children in tune with the basics of life and nature when they're just so inundated, as we all are, with this technology?
Yeah, it's a constant battle for me. I have a 7-year-old boy, and if anybody knows a 7-year-old boy out there or is parenting one, and Minecraft and iPads and, you know, video games. So it's a constant battle no matter where you live. And technology is extremely important. We're all living on technology all the time, and children definitely need to be educated with technology. In the early, early years, I think children need to have technology definitely limited. I was noticing that my 4-year-old really, he likes it here and there, but as they get older, like around 7 years old or 6 years old, they become to really want it all the time, and I really have to limit it. So limiting your child's amount of technology is a part of parenting these days. What is your limit in your household? On a school day, my son gets an hour, and if he wants to do a half hour when he comes home, and if he wants to do a half hour before he goes to bed, that's his hour. On the weekends, I give him 2 hours on a Saturday and Sunday. Limit them and then put it away. They're done. And then you offer them other things to do. You in the city can, you know, your caregiver or you can take them for a walk and get them out into a natural environment. Or even if it's not, if even it's just a concrete playground, getting them outside so they're not on technology. And then offer, if after you've limited their amount of use of technology, you need to then offer them other outlets of what the natural, how can they connect with the natural world. For example, if you don't have the time, maybe it's something that you do with them on the weekend, because I'm a working mom and I understand the busy life. But maybe if your caregiver, you tell your caregiver, you know, when he comes home from school, he's allowed to go on the iPad and play for a half hour, or her, and they can watch TV or whatever way they're using technology. But after that, I bought this really cute herb garden, and can you guys set that up? Give them other, you know, think it's, again, being as a parent, if you really want nature a part of their life, you need to think about how is it going to be a part of their life, because it you need to fit it in there and provide them the right opportunities.
Thank you for that. It really is. It's a conscious effort and just a way of being. And like you said, I've sort of along the lines of with the food, it's a matter of it's balance. It's making sure things are balanced. So is it ever too early to expose your child to animals and nature?
Yeah. You know, if you're having an infant in New York City, you're not going to want to take them outside in January or February. You want to limit that. You know, RSV is so popular. Like, it doesn't happen in New Jersey the way, because infants go from a house to a car seat to the next stop. But when you have to walk your 3-year-old and you have an infant to school, they're outside breathing in really freezing cold air. So I think that is a time where nature is a little too harsh for infants. And so, or obviously excruciating heat and sun and stuff, and that's for any age where you're, you know, wear your sunscreen. But other than that, you know, if it's mild weather, if they're in the shade, it's never never a bad time for it. Getting children and young babies out into fresh air, I would specifically, if you're a new mom or you know when you're going to have your child or if you know you're going to have another baby soon, I would specifically think about, where am I going to take walks? How can I get them around fresh air and it not be, you know, Lexington Avenue? Where is there an outlet that I can walk my baby around and be around trees and breathe the freshest air they can in a city environment? When it comes to animals, you have animals in your home. You know, you all know the limitations, what comes with that, and babies around animals and pets in your home. What we tell people at the art farm when they want to bring their babies, we think definitely if they want a pet and a parent is there holding a baby that's 6 months or older, they can help guide their hand and pet an animal, obviously making sure you have cleaned their hands before they put their hands back in their mouth. But definitely I think the perfect age for children to start really engaging animal in the art farms programming and being around a variety of animals is 18 months. We offer our classes at anywhere between 14 months and 18 months. And I think parents would be a good gauge of, like, what is their child like? Are they still putting a lot of things in their mouth? Are their hands constantly in their mouth? And you might not want them petting animals all the time. If they're starting to not do that, then it's definitely a really good time. Walking is really good for them to be able to be exposed to the animals as well. That's just cognitively where we really start seeing children engage with animals. They'll start pointing at them, noticing that they're moving, noticing that they're different than them, and wanting to touch. And then at that age is when we start teaching them how to touch. And all of our classes at the Mommy and Me age group is a big part of teaching the adults how to teach your child, because children don't know their actions at that age, so we need to teach the adults on how to hold the child's hand, on how to pet them, and how to be gentle to the animal.
That's wonderful. And so along those lines, what can children actually learn very early on about being around live animals or when being around live animals? Like, what are some really important lessons or things they can pick up on?
Definitely how to be gentle to other living creatures. Children don't know how to be gentle. I mean, you all can imagine a toddler going and grabbing a bunny or grabbing this. They don't understand that it's living, and they don't understand the consequences. It might be going on in your home. You might have, you know, a three-year-old and a newborn baby, or you might have an 18-month-old and a newborn baby, and they don't know. They don't know how to be gentle. So teaching children to be gentle, and I think it doesn't really necessarily have to be an age thing. It's just the exposure of live animals to children. If an eight-year-old's never been exposed to live animals, they're going to have no idea that they need to be gentle with it. They don't know the consequences of it, and they haven't been taught that. As you get older, you know, you are around the world, you start figuring out that, oh, yes, this is a living creature. I need to be gentle to it. But the first time children are exposed to them, they don't understand that. So that is definitely the first and foremost, and it also creates empathy in a child. They understand that the cause and effect, if I hurt this, it's going to be sad, and it's not good, and I don't feel good when I'm hurt, so I don't want to hurt somebody else. We've had so many families tell us that have young children in their home or they are expecting a new baby, that if they've been taking classes at the art farm and we teach them how to pet gently and help show them how to pet, and we use the word gentle a lot, and to be calm and quiet and make your body still when there's an animal in the room, that really helps with new babies in the house. Because just like you need to be safe and quiet and gentle to live animals, the same thing carries over to people and humans and babies. Everybody needs to be gentle to all living creatures. So that's a huge thing that children learn at an early age when being around live animals.
That's great. And actually, Heather, our co-founder, told me that she used to bring her son to the art farm in the city, and she said it was that experience that really first sparked his love of learning about animals, and that there was something so therapeutic for people, even of all ages, to have a chance to pet and interact with the different types of animals. So along those lines, how can nature build self-esteem in children? And that's sort of, I guess it's a little bit similar to a question that's come in from one of our audience members who asks, can exposure to nature affect my child's development? So sort of along those lines, self-esteem, development, what can you tell us about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the caller that is questioning about the development, nature is a huge part in development. There's been so many studies, as I said in the beginning of my call, that document the importance of exposing children to it for social, emotional, and physical development. So in the way of it building self-esteem is nature doesn't judge. So everything, just like people, there's nothing in nature that's exactly the same. Like people say, like, every snowflake is different. Every leaf is different. Every animal is different. Every person is different. And everything in nature is different. Nothing is exactly the same. The only things that are exactly the same are things that are manufactured. They're not natural. So teaching children that really helps them understand that they are natural, they're a part of nature, and it's okay to be different. Whether they have a low self-esteem or whether you are teaching them to be accepting of all their peers, it's teaching children that it's okay to be different. Nothing is exactly the same, and everybody's making their mark in this world, whether it's a leaf that's just fallen off the tree, whether it's a handicapped animal, whether it's a child that plays differently or speaks differently or does something differently. It just really solidifies the whole thing in this whole world that everybody's different, people are different, and nature is different, and you can physically show them in nature how things are different. And it really helps children connect with naturally who they are. And if they're feeling different, help them boost their self-esteem, because everything in the natural world is different.
Wow. I mean, and this is really illuminating. And as you said, so important. So it's not only the self-esteem, but also you had mentioned about meeting new people and being accepting of others. I mean, there are just endless lessons in children's connection with nature. And then sort of continuing on from there, how can having your child being in touch with nature also increase their physical activity, improve their nutrition? So going sort of from an emotional, psychosocial mm-hmm. standpoint to actual the physicality, the importance of nature and their physicality.
Yes, and anybody that has young children, or even especially boys that have so much energy, if you know, like if someone said to you, if you took your child to a field in Central Park, what would they do? They're going to run. They're going to walk. They're going to explore. They're not going to feel, you know, closed in. You can bring activities with you. Bring a frisbee. Bring a wiffle ball. Bring a bat. So openness in nature just gives the natural instinct to explore, the natural instinct to move your body. It also, with your nutrition as well, like we were discussing with gardening, and so instilling these things in an early life, that healthy foods that grow in nature, and having them in your home and having your children be a part of that and that being staples in their diet will give them the building blocks of healthy nutrition moving forward.
Fantastic. And so before we run out of time, I, again, would really like to thank the Art Farm in the City for putting together this highly informative, very important, and illuminating teleclass. Their sponsorship of today's class continues to allow moms from all over the country and even sometimes all over the world to take our classes for free. So last question, unless anybody else, we're still taking questions, so if any of you, again, want to type in a question, feel free. Tell us, Valentina, how can exposure to nature, and this is a really important one in our society today, how can exposure to nature reduce stress, not only in your child, but for the whole family?
Everybody knows what they, adults, feel like when they're exposed outside to nature. So what do you feel like? Everybody think to yourself as an adult, how do you feel when you're out near water, or if you're lucky enough to be on a boat in the ocean, or if you're lucky enough to go on a vacation and be in a canoe in the middle of a lake, like, you know how calming that is. Nature is very calming. Nature, for the most is silent and calm and quiet, and all you hear are the natural sounds, which you're not hearing in an urban environment, or even if you are in a country setting, you're not hearing those sounds in your home. So being a part of that just brings a sense of calmness. And for you, if you're feeling that, that's going to trickle down to the child. But if you, as an adult, you're a person, you're feeling that, you know your child is going to feel that too. So if you can't make those things a part of your Monday through Friday, really figure out a way, how can you make those things on a Saturday or Sunday happen? Or when you had time off, you can just go an hour out of New York City and be near water. You can plan hiking trips. You can do so many different things in Central Park. And like I've said before, you don't have to necessarily need to leave the city. There are so many different ways for children to be around nature and your family to be a part of nature. It's just taking the time to looking into that and finding it. And I also think, even for me too, and raising my family, you need to turn off that technology and focus on your children and focus on nature with them. Could you imagine how good would you feel if you turned your phone off for 2 hours and you went to Central Park and you played and laid in the grass? Or you planned a hiking trip and you left your phone in the car and you were just with your kids and with nature. It's just really going to make you feel good and reduce your stress, and you know it will for your children as well.
Thank you. That's so, so important. And I think sometimes we all forget that, that all we have to do really is just put our phones down and get out there, because it really does make a huge impact. Even, I know personally, just taking a half hour walk out in nature, whether it's, you know, in the city, whether it's, you know, going to the beach, whatever, it just automatically decompresses and calms. So this has been great. And so it doesn't look like we have any further questions at this point. Everybody, you've been wonderful. You've had wonderful questions. We know that Valentina has gone over a wealth of terrific information today. So a huge thank you, Valentina, for your wonderful expertise. You're clearly not only a true expert, but also very passionate about this topic, which we really appreciate on these classes. And is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, and I think, you know, when we started this whole teleclass, I was like, I definitely want to get that the Art Farm is doing this, and there's so many ways. You know, at first it was, you know, getting more families to know about the Art Farm. But just in general, this teleclass has turned into so many just parenting ways, whether it's at the Art Farm or it's just however you want to bring nature into your home or your children out into nature. You're really going to benefit from it. And it's just also really made me realize how lucky I've been to have nature and whole foods cooking a big part of my life. And if adults, you haven't had that, now take the time to do it for your children, because it really does instill a healthy lifestyle.
Thank you for that. And as I mentioned in the beginning, callers, we will be sending out a link to this recorded teleclass for your ongoing reference and support. We'll also make sure that you have Valentina's information and information about Art Farm in the city, as well as some additional resources. So thank you, everyone, for joining us today. And we will be in touch with you within a few days. We have a great day, and we hope to connect with you again soon.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you very much.